This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Comedian Louis Black on the program at 4:30. He'll be at McCall Hall on Saturday night, the last tour for Louis Black. So we'll talk to him coming up after emails on our question, who is the family member with the weirdest quirk? 206-803-ROCK.
Yeah, I saw the way, talking about the way my daughter eats pizza, etc. Someone here says, my daughter eats like that too, man, age 13. It's crazy. Then somebody says, I went to school with a girl who ate her deli sandwiches like that, top to bottom. That is weird.
Study says it's because of DNA. So they say it's not your kid's fault to be a picky eater. Essentially, it's yours. I was never a picky eater. That was never part of my world.
I was.
Their mother was not a picky eater. I don't understand the kid with the chicken strips and the french fries, but that was all she would eat. For seriously 5 years.
I was a picky eater, but look, I just don't like vegetables. Hasn't changed, probably not going to. But beyond that, looking back, I don't know if I was a picky eater or if my mom's cooking was just that bad. And I said, well, like I said, she openly admits that her cooking was crap. With the exception of breakfast, she can crush that, right? But I said, would you eat tomato pie? And I've explained it before, picture a cherry pie, crust on top, crust on bottom. Instead of cherries, it's tomatoes. That's the meal.
But that's a warm dinner. That should be like...
That's dinner, but I wasn't going to eat
what
that.
What else is on there?
Because I have told you the ingredients. Yeah. There's crust on top, there's crust on the bottom, and in between, I guess, stewed tomatoes, whatever.
I don't mind stewed tomatoes.
That was it.
Like, okay, all right.
And then it would be like frozen spinach or whatever on the side. And like, look, I don't... like spinach. I certainly do not like frozen spinach. I can survive fresh spinach if I have to eat it. But now, frozen spinach was awful. And up until adulthood, I did not know the spinach appeared any other way. But, like, I'm not eating that, man. Mm-hmm. I am not eating. Am I picky, or did I just recognize that this is garbage?
Who is the family member with the weirdest quirk? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Hank. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
So it's my mother. Unfortunately, she passed a few years ago, but even up until she passed, she consistently hoarded.
Oh,
and, you know, we're Mexican, so like quinceañera, she would steal something from the party, even though they said, please don't take the ornaments. She would take them. So during the last year, we were invited to a 75th birthday party for our best friend's mother. And she took the knife that was engraved with the lady's name.
Jeez.
And we didn't know that, but somebody saw her take it. So I said, hey, we can't find the knife. And so he said, hey, your mom has it in her purse. That's not the worst. The worst was when we were kids, we lived in a bad section of town, and we heard police sirens. They show up, and then they put up the yellow tape. It was getting late, so my mom said, hey, get your butts inside. So we go inside, and the next morning, we all go down there. And what does my mother find? The bloody knife right there, all full of blood. You think she would call the cops? No. She took it home, and that was her favorite knife to peel cactus.
No, what? Wait, she and took
she
a bloody...
All these years. When I got older, I would ask her, hey, Mom, where'd you get that knife? And she would wave it at me. She's like, don't worry about it.
Wait, so let me get this straight. She took a bloody knife from a crime scene, and that became her favorite knife to peel cactus with?
Yes.
So was she a kleptomaniac, okay, or was she a hoarder, or both?
you know, she was poor, you know, and it's a mental illness with these people that lived during the Great Depression.
No, trust me, nothing. I've got those family members, too.
You know, especially things she would find on the street, including a bloody knife.
I mean, look, man, like I said, to me, that's kind of where the limit is. You can say someone hoards, and I go, okay, this is a mental condition, you know, you figure it out. They even have shows about it, but I even feel like a hoarder would be like, I don't need a bloody knife that's not mine, that's at a crime scene. I don't need that in my house.
I wonder if she knew the person responsible was trying to cover up the crime.
No, she didn't.
I'm with Miles, though. Like, I get hoarding. That sounds a little bit like a klepto thing, too, like stealing stuff for parties.
But, I mean, even kleptomania, I get. But a bloody knife from a crime scene.
Maybe she just had a good eye. Recognized how nice of a nice knife it was.
I mean, was it a decent knife other than its history?
It was a good knife. You know, it was like the OJ knife, you know. It was very sharp, yeah. You know, and it was, I'm telling you, it was her favorite knife to kill cactus.
Okay, and did she keep it up until she died?
Yes.
So when she passes and the will comes around, like, how much crap did you and your siblings have to deal with just based on the fact that she collected all this stuff over time?
Oh, my God, you know, we go trick-or-treating, and she has Snickers in there from 1970. I go, Mom, you never let us eat this. Oh, that for you.
Wait, she stole a candy from 1970.
Yeah.
Yeah, pantries are tough, too, man. My mom and my grandmother, I went to get a can of something for my mom, and I'm like, Mom, this expired, you know, over 10 years ago. She's like, it's fine.
No.
I'm like, Mom, it's not. It's not okay. I was like, and I tried. Go to the garage. She has someone who comes over and does yard work for her every so often. Cuts grass, does all this. I'm like, Mom, you have 5 shovels, like spade shovels you would dig, you know, for a garden. My grandfather used to be a gardener. And I said, hey, why don't you donate these to the guy who's doing your yard work so he can use them? They do get some use. They're still in good shape. You haven't picked up a shovel in 40 years. Why do you need 4 or 5 of them? Well, what if one breaks?
Well, you would have to use it.
Correct. That's what I said.
That's the first thing.
And this goes like wicker basket. She has a 2-car garage. You can't pull a car in. There is so much crap that, I mean, last time I was there, I used a towel that I used growing up, you know, God, a mighty 40 years ago. 40 years. I mean, the big thing
absorb anything?
It's falling apart. Like the frills are coming off of it. I'm just like, why do you still have that? Throw this thing away. Well, we can still use it as a rag. I know, but you gave it to me as a guest towel. And you don't.
You talk about the pantry stuff. Like, we just moved my mom into like a senior living center.
Yeah.
My brother sends me a picture one Saturday. He's over there cleaning up. And there's just like 10 jars of strawberry jam or something. It's all Smuckers or whatever, and I'm just like, why? The only thing we could figure is that she would get an urge for strawberry jam and
forget that she had
butter,
some.
I guess forget that she had them, but it was just like, what are you going to do with all that? And they can't all be within date.
No.
And look, we're all kind of guilty of it, man.
There's stuff in my pantry that I should go look at tonight that probably
but it's not falling out at you when you open the doors. Yeah. There's a difference.
But you don't feel like doing it. And when we redid the kitchen, like just by necessity, we had to clean out all the cabinets. And we weren't too bad. But there were a few things here and there where we just looked at each other like, one, why did we buy this in the first place? We're trying to trace back, like, why did we think this was a good idea? What did we plan on making? Because it's not an ordinary thing that we would have. And by the way, we've been together for 20 years. Apparently bought this like 12 years ago, and we've moved it to 2 different houses. It expired before we moved to our current house, which was 10 years ago.
There's a shelf in her garage that like, honest to God, it's like particle board wood.
Yeah.
So the middle of it is dipping down.
Of course.
The entire top of this shelf is covered in glass vases from flower arrangements that have been sent to the house over the years.
Yeah, I gotta keep them.
There's at least 20 of them up there. And I'm telling you, one day, they're gonna wake up in the middle of the night to the hugest crash they've ever heard in their life, and glass everywhere. And I'm like, Mom, you only need like 2 or 3 vases. Well, what if we give flowers?
They can buy a goddamn vase.
I'm sure they've got a vase. Use one. I mean, geez, a whiz.
Give them one of yours.
Correct.
How many people are you buying flowers for?
My sister's like, are you going to come home for Thanksgiving and see Mom? I'm like, no. And she's like, why? And I was like, I went last year, man. I need 2 years. And she's like, why? And I'm like, I can't. The place, there's so, like, back to the color. There's so much crap everywhere. Like, trails going to places. Like, I'm like, it's a hoarder. It's a functional hoarder household.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to move things before you sit down. You need to.
which
you,
is
you
ridiculous.
Can't sit anything down in the house because you might not be able to find it. I'm talking about like your phone or keys or whatever the deal is, because it's just in this. There's no counter space. There's nothing. You got to make a little section. You know what I mean?
That's bad. I'm very
like,
glad.
Throw
to say
away
that.
Your junk mail. My
parents, as they get up there in age and they moved around, they did pretty much a big bloodletting from the time they left Seattle to get to New Mexico. And they don't hoard. They've been together for 60 years, so they just have a lot of stuff. But it's not all of it's functional.
Yeah.
They use all of it, which I do appreciate.
Because they've been moving around.
But there's weird. So I got my dad's vinyl. That was great. And he said, look, it's not that I want to, quote unquote, give it up, but it's too heavy. I'm not dealing with it anymore. And said, I will gladly take it. So I think he was happy that it stays in the family. But one thing, and I guess I get this from my dad, everywhere in their house, there are clocks. Now, if you're one of those people that does not like analog clocks, it's even worse than that. My dad does not believe in digital clocks. He's like, any dumbass can look at a digital clock and tell you the freaking time, right? So it's either analog or, as my wife says, I don't know what time it is when we're at my parents' house because it's, I can't explain. They're very cool, but you don't necessarily know what time it is. And he will explain how these mechanisms work, but it's not even like hour hands and minute hands. There's like four different pendulums swinging. They're not really big, maybe a foot and a half tall or something, but they're everywhere. And you will walk through their entire house going, but what time is it? You know, it's like, seriously, man, you got clocks everywhere. I know they're all set to the same time. We just don't know what time that is. But I get the feeling I'll be getting those. Because my brother's straight up like, I will burn everything you own. He doesn't care.
I will burn it.
Yeah, he doesn't hate it. He just doesn't care. He has no nostalgic feeling for anything.
I mean, I would also say there's other stuff, too. Like, I have a cousin who's one of the quieter people you'll meet, right? Kind of talks like Boomhauer.
Okay.
And almost like mumble, right? But online, he's angry. And if you go to a sporting event and it doesn't go the way, right, like we were saying this weekend, right, we went to watch the University of Maryland football play at number one University of Oregon football. We know going into this, it's probably not going to go well. But we went to Virginia Tech one year when they joined the conference with Maryland, and he was like salty the whole night afterwards. This campus sucks. Like, no, the campus doesn't suck. Did you really think we were going to beat him?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we stopped taking him on the trip because it's like, well, we got to enjoy it, too.
Right, enjoy it where you're at.
Be realistic
about
all
fairness to him, it does look like one giant mental institution.
I mean
Virginia Tech does look like a mental institution.
I'm just saying, he's just not fun to take on the trip because he just gets so angry. And it's like, right, but we kind of knew it was going to happen.
Sure, man. Don't kid yourself.
Right.
But, who's the family member with the weirdest quirk? 206-803-ROCK.
Oh, here's one to make you happy, Miles. Says my sister would buy 10 bottles of the same salad dressing and multiples of other stuff. Eventually, figured out she's got dementia.
Oh.
They're not joking. That's how they figured it out. Someone else says, when my grandmother died, we found 10 pounds of butter in her deep freezer.
She was ready.
Okay.
Yeah, you can never have enough butter.
Mom, are you ever going to read this Life magazine again?
No.
From 1974.
What's the significance of it? I don't even know who's on the cover. Typically, you know who's on the cover.
Just, right. JFK assassinated.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
9/11. Mm-hmm. I get it. Your favorite team won the Super Bowl. I understand. Presidential inauguration. I get it. What is this random thing of like 50 ways to improve your shoe shine?
All the Reader's Digest books. Are you really going to read this
Does
stuff again?
Does she keep all those?
Everything. Nothing has been thrown away. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You could imagine that thing, man. Good luck getting my grandmother out. I mean, seriously. Who's a family member with the weirdest quirk? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Matthew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So, let me get the off speaker here. I got a 17-year-old nephew who will not eat meat.
Now, does he not eat meat because he's against it, or what is the deal?
He's not against it. He's not a vegetarian, and he's never really given a definitive answer his whole life. So, like your daughter, we've just come accepted that this is who he is. He will eat bacon.
Of course he will.
All right.
Of course.
Shocking.
You shouldn't even let him eat bacon. Say, nope, doing that. So
other meat. And when between the ages of 6 and 10, the goofiest thing we did together is he would want to go to McDonald's and get a small fry and a cheeseburger. But the cheeseburger was a bun and a piece of cheese.
Really?
So no burger.
50% of the time, I would explain it to him. It's so much in the drive-thru, and I'd still get the order, and there'd be a plain cheeseburger with a piece of beef in there.
All right, would he eat a chicken sandwich?
No meat.
No meat.
Just bacon, that's
spaghetti is red sauce on noodles. Cheese pizzas only. He grew up on beans and rice and cheese, pretty much.
And you said he's 17 now, so he's not turning that corner at this point.
Nope, not yet. And, and he's got a frame. He's 6 foot, but I bet he goes 140.
All right, so he gets his protein from beans and other things.
Yeah,
he does get protein.
He does get his protein, and they make sure they give him lots of supplements, and his parents make sure that he gets all the healthy nutrients. But, yeah, he gets his protein through other sources.
He doesn't have
it. Yeah, we got to do that with my daughter, too. She will eat deli turkey meat, but very specific about what it is, because Boar's Head had their recall a couple months ago, right? So it just wasn't available, so my wife bought whatever the other one is. I have no idea. My daughter took a bite. She's like, nope. Like, you've got to be kidding. Credit to her for having a discerning palate, but still, I'm like, hey.
Well, at least you got some turkey sandwiches that week.
You know, I actually did. But we discovered a little thing she likes. I did not know that she liked croissants until my wife bought me a bunch of croissants. Like I said, if you put a turd on a croissant, I'm more likely to eat that turd, right? So
croissants are great.
They are. So she got a box of like six of them, and I'm going to make my chicken salad on there. And within 2 days, I'm like, I had two sandwiches. What the hell happened to the other croissants? She's like, oh, your daughter discovered she likes them. And that's all she wrote, man. But she'll take a croissant, and that's her meal. And it takes like 40 minutes to eat. It's just staggering. Like I said, if you're in a hurry, just skip a meal. Like, we got to go.
Who is the family member with the weirdest quirk? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jess. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So my mom was never really into drinking, but for her birthday about, like, I don't know, 6 years ago, my boyfriend at the time, we're now engaged, but we took her out for her birthday, and she wanted it was something with tequila, and she'd never had it before. We went to this pretty nice, like, upscale, or, you know, like, the drinks are kind of expensive. My mom ordered this drink, and there were a couple of guys that were like, oh, it's your birthday. Let us buy you a drink. And they were like, oh, you have to pick that one. And they I don't even know. I don't really like tequila myself, but they bought her this really expensive drink. My mom took one sip, and she was like, I don't like it. And she ordered another, like, a well drink, and she's, oh, my God, so incredibly picky when it comes to drinking. And it was embarrassing, to say the least. But, my mom doesn't do tequila, apparently. And that's
no okay.
What, whether it's a well drink or whatever, I don't know.
I mean,
I think alcohol is a different ballgame.
Yes, sure.
So, 'cause if people don't really drink, that is the taste of it. Like, I like beer, but, like, liquor, like, that's just, you're drinking that to drink.
It's very
There's better
specific.
One. Yeah.
Right.
And I was telling Mike last week, we were talking about NA beers. Like, mm-hmm. I said, like, Athletics IPA, I think tastes good, this and that. But, like, I can't fathom the idea of just drinking shots of whiskey just for the taste.
And you say there's no booze, right?
Right. Like, so, I'll drink an NA beer.
What was the first alcoholic beverage you had that you liked? Like, for me, and again, because, like, if
Zima?
You don't, you like Zima. I had a Kahlua and cream. I was 14, and this guy goes, it tastes like a milkshake. You like it. And he's right. I don't drink them now, but it's like, right, if you don't drink, I don't know that tequila is the one you want to make your splash appearance on.
For me, it was Amaretto di Amore.
Right, exactly.
Just cherry flavored. Until my buddy was like, dude, this is cough syrup. I was like, that guy.
Also, tequila is one of the ones that you tend to swear off for a little while more than other stuff.
I swore to 13 years.
That's what I mean. Like, it's
I've never sworn off whiskey, but I've sworn off tequila.
Anything else. You'd say, like, all right, I'll give it another shot. But for whatever reason, the tequila hangover, the way you feel.
The kidnappings.
The kidnappings.
How fast.
That's what did it for me. I mean, look, man, it wasn't the hangovers. No, it was, oh, my God.
But if I didn't know you, I'd be like, who's kidnapping people?
We drank a bottle of tequila. I said, my buddy split two bottles. I'm like, no, we each drank a bottle. I need to just be honest. We drank a bottle of tequila each, and then we kidnapped someone. And honestly, look, everyone's sworn something off, and he didn't really mean it. That one, like I said, I'd held true for many, many years. I'm like, I can't do it.
And that was back in the Jose Cuervo days.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It wasn't even tasty. So you really did need to put that in a margarita or you can make a drink with it. But man, if you just went for that bottle, that's when all hell broke.
Oh, yeah.
I will say our girl Jess, as much as we love her calling in, she does have her own little quirk.
And you don't
she takes
say.
A lot of left turns on the way to telling her story, and she never actually did get to the punchline to where her mom, when she drinks a little bit too much, develops an Irish accent.
What?
Yes.
Oh, so it wasn't even that she liked cheap liquor.
Oh, yeah.
It's that she talks like a drunken Irishman.
Exactly. All of a sudden she's
that's
different.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I was like her mom. My father-in-law used to talk like a pirate.
But
yeah. If you hear me start throwing out like mate and oi, like a little English. Brev, come on.
But is she Irish is the question. Because everyone I've met, it doesn't matter where they're from. You can be from New York, you can be from Ireland, you can be from Hawaii, you can be from Mexico, right? And in normal conversation, we all sound like this. Four whiskeys into it, their accent comes out. There was a guy I used to work with. I did not know he was from rural Virginia. He did not carry himself that way. It's at a restaurant. And this guy, for his staff drink, he would drink 2 pints of Maker's Mark with 3 cubes per pint, which is up, but he never seemed drunk, right? Very functional alcoholic.
Damn.
The only way we can tell he's drunk, now stand. This man who normally spoke like this when he's waiting on a table, what would you like to order today? That's how I met him. That's how we knew him. And then you're sitting down after work, and as he kind of slides into it and his eyes get a little glassy, you realize, like, dude, where are you from? And I can't remember the town, but middle of Virginia. We're like, yeah, only when he's drunk, but we hear it.
I got my father-in-law, Stone, used to smoke a pipe, and he would get really, really whiskeyed up. I mean, he loved Irish whiskey. He was Irish. He talked about it all the time.
Right.
Whatever. When he got drunk, he talked like a pirate. I don't know what the hell the deal was. But I had some weed, and he had just packed a pipe and went to use the bathroom. So I took a nugget that I had, and I put it underneath a sale of loose-leaf tobacco. And I watched him get stoned and pass out in a chair outside in about 5 minutes. And
yeah,
I walked his ass to bed and put him in bed. And it was like the first night of peace I'd had in a week that they'd been there.
Oh, so you set him up?
Oh, yeah. I was like, I can't take this anymore. So he didn't know it was in there, man. He got stoned to the bejesus belt. So I let him in there. He's like, oh, must have drank too much air.
Yes,
get in there, Captain Hook. Go to bed.
Who's the family member with the weirdest quirk? 206.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
6803 Rock.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
KISW proudly presents Live Night going down Friday, December 13th. Showbox Soda. Every single thing will be live, including you in the audience playing a little Big Dummy.
Yep.
We'll have the Barbershop Quartet there. Doing a little Bad Choice Friday as well. Of course, the Daily Migs Morning Show, they'll go on stage first, play a little Beat Migs, and then new originals going out, playing some tunes for you all night. Everything live. Commercials. Every sound effect you hear, the entire thing is done live, on stage, and broadcast right here on these very airwaves.
Yes, indeed. The Nightmare Before Christmas. I kind of accidentally stumbled upon a jacket that I must order for this. Somehow, I can't tell if it's supposed to be like a bloody tuxedo coat or a festive Christmas jacket. Like, honestly, I stared at this thing for like 2 minutes. I'm like, what is this? But in the end, I'm like, you know, it'll serve its purpose.
It's going to be a great night out of Showbox Soto. If you don't have tickets, get to KISW.com right now and pick up a pair. And we will see you on Friday night, December the 13th, down at Showbox Soto. All right, a question. Who is the family member with the weirdest quirk? 206-803-ROCK.
Quick one from the text here. It says, one of my cousins is on the autism spectrum. And growing up at family holidays, he would end up naked, probably from his parents trying to change him to pajamas for the ride home. But then, while naked, he'd run around hugging everyone. The funniest part was, we always had guests, boyfriends, girlfriends, exchange students, or friends. He did it until close to 10 years old. Fun way to meet our family.
Good times.
That's a weird one. I just hug Good your times. Naked child. Please don't.
I mean, right, like, everybody understands the scenario. It's still awkward as hell.
Yeah, just like, just don't hug me, kid. Hello, Trevor. Welcome to the men's room.
First time, long time.
Hola. Welcome to the show, Trevor.
How you guys doing?
Doing good, man.
All right, so I am one of three boys, and this is particularly about my middle brother, because, you know, middle children. So growing up, my middle brother would not touch vegetables.
Sorry, my finger slipped.
Oh, it happens. So My father, my parents were divorced, and we were at my dad's house for the weekend. And my dad grew up in small town Western Iowa, so he grew up with vegetables, meat, and potatoes. That was how it was. So that's what we got. Well, one night we were eating edamame, and my brother was forced to sit at the table until he consumed three edamame beans. It got to the point where he sat there for so long. He literally just force-fed himself the edamame by just swallowing them.
He didn't pull the bean out. He just threw the whole thing in his mouth?
Yeah, just like head back, tossed them in, and just straight swallowed them, and that was it.
How long do you think he sat there?
Oh, it was like well over 3 hours.
I'm wondering if there's...
My dad was like, you cannot leave this table until those are gone.
I wonder if there's like cilantro aspect to this. I mean, because
Maybe,
you have
yeah,
it.
I don't know.
Your dad has it.
My dad has it, but he'll eat vegetable. I just won't, and I never would. And my parents would do the same thing to me, but I realized looking back, I need to ask my parents, the nights that they absolutely cooked a meal that they knew I was not going to eat, they would say the same thing, like, hey, Steven, do not leave this dinner table until you eat. And I'm one of those people that can entertain myself with my own brain, so I'm like, cool. I would not touch it, and I would sit there until bedtime, right? But looking back, my parents, they never sat in there with me, and they didn't really come to check in on it. So what I think they did, say it's Thursday night and Matlock was on or some crap like that, I think they set it up so that they could watch TV in peace instead of having their annoying little kid bugging them about everything, knowing that I had no problem just not eating, but I'm not going to eat that, and just sit at the table.
Does your brother still not eat vegetables?
Okay, so here's the funny thing. So, you know, this is like, I'm 30 now, and this was, I think, when I was 15 years ago, and you won't believe it. You would not believe this from this guy. So he actually just got out of a relationship of about 2 years. And the girl he was with, vegan.
Did he eat vegan with her?
Oh, yeah. He went hardcore vegan.
That's the power of vagina, right, my friend.
It really is.
I mean, there be no mistake about that.
Right. It, you know, he's Mr. Meat, Potatoes, Bread. You know, that's all he ate. And then you hear... I don't believe it. Yeah, he went hardcore vegan, got super healthy, lost a bunch of weight, and like, holy moly.
Well, what about now? Yeah, now exactly. That he's not with her.
Is he back to meat potatoes?
He's back to meat. Oh, yeah. I mean, he eats much better now, obviously, having gone through a vegan phase where, you know, you'll see him grab a plate and he'll actually grab vegetables, you know?
Okay. Is he normal otherwise, besides his eating habits?
Oh, no. He's middle child, man. What do you expect?
Well, I mean, you know.
You're convinced that
he lives the middle child life. He's very, very strange.
The middle child life. You know, Trevor, a text came in. It says, edamame, LOL, I did the same thing when I was a kid, except I was made to eat corn. So I plugged my nose and swallowed them one by one.
Oh, man.
I was just surprised that's where that went.
You know, meat, potatoes guy, Western Idaho, meat, potatoes, edamame.
Edamame.
Traditional Idaho meal.
Where did that come from? That was like a curveball.
I would assume he has tried other vegetables.
Yeah, I would think so.
So it's like, let's try this one.
I like that
three edamame, and that kid sat there like, Jesus Christ, come on.
My mom put lima beans on my plate once, and I was just like, come on, man. You know what I mean? I was old enough at this point where it's like, we know the drill, right? And lima beans weren't something that she normally made. So it's kind of a surprise. My brother, who eats like a trash can, he's fine with it. My father, I think he probably ate a few, but I'm pretty sure he did the kid move of take your fork and spread them on the plate so it looks like you've eaten something.
Yeah, you gotta move them around.
And I remember having that conversation with my kids when they were younger. I said, hey, man, just so you know, before your mother sees your plate, we're not stupid. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? I know you took your fork and just moved this ass around. I did the same thing. And they're like, really? I said, yeah, and it never worked. Just... Eat it or don't eat it, but don't try to trick us. But anyway, there's this pile of lima beans. There's maybe eight of them. And I'm just looking at them like, nope, 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 nope. And I can't remember what we ate as a regular meal, but I ate that. So now the whole family, and it's so weird. My mother, my dad, my brother, everyone's like, just eat one. Just try one. To the point that it's uncomfortable, right? So I'm like, fine. It's probably went on for about 45 minutes. And they're not going to leave the table. They just want to see me eat a lima bean. And I popped onto my mouth, took like three chews. I swallowed it and almost instantly projectile vomited on everything. And they never asked me to do it again. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was that simple. Like, no more vegetables showed up on my plate, nothing. But I did try it. I thought it tasted awful. And I wasn't trying to puke. I just remember it went into my stomach. Maybe it was psychosomatic. Maybe I recognized how gross it was. But, man, my stomach was like, no. It was like a bungee shot. Just, right. Never, ever had that problem again.
Who is the family member with the weirdest quirk? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Grant. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I have my grandmother on my dad's side. Love her to death. She was a registered RN for, I want to say, over 40-plus years. When I was about 6, maybe 7 years old, however old you are in about second grade. I'm over at their house, and I happened to break my arm, which is a whole nother story in its own, and go run it up to her, and I'm like, Grandma, my arm's broken. And you can see clear as day. Both bones in the left arm broken clean in half. And she's like, no, you're fine, like, you know, trying to comfort me or whatever. I go all day, you know, happened to see a house burn down in the neighborhood that day, took a nap. And then by the time I get home, oh, man, they went and dropped me off. I got run into the house, tell my mom what happened. She's like, holy, what are you doing running around like that? We go running off to the ER, and, man, we've never let my grandma live that down since.
You said she's a registered nurse.
Yes.
And you recognized that your arm was broken, but this registered nurse did not register that it was broken.
Yeah.
Was she all there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Like, she's the smartest person in the world when it comes to book smarts. But street smarts, you could say 50-50 depending on the day.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, that's fair.
My daughters are that way. One I would not worry about in Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Right.
The other one I would worry about going to Fred Meyer.
I think...
It still seems odd, though, that a registered nurse wouldn't be able to see. Like, that's a broken bone.
Right. I think that's the entire difference there. Like, listen, and like you said, 40 years deep. Still like, nah, man, you're fine.
Hey, hell, Miles, me and you did it the thrill years ago. When he fell and... We didn't know, but like his wrists, like we were even, like even I was like, brother, I hate to tell you this, like,
that's broken.
You need to go to the hospital. That looks bad.
Not an RN.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
No medical experience at
like,
all.
If I saw a broken arm on somebody, I feel like something in your head would go, hey, pretty sure you have a broken arm.
And he said it's broken in two places.
So. Yeah, you could see it flopping around probably.
Who is the family member with the weirdest quirk? 206-803.
Yeah, you watch college and NFL football.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you see something and you go, I don't want to watch the replay.
Yep.
Seen it.
Nope. God, they got us on Sunday for something. I can't remember what team it was. Looked like a routine play. You see the guy's on the field and he's kind of screaming, rips off his helmet, right? So you know he's in a lot of pain. The announcers don't catch it either. And they played the replay. God forbid they just do it in real time. They show it in slow-mo. And the problem is, you know, they'll be like, well, it seems like the problem's with his ankle. So now they show it in slow-mo, and you can't help but focus on the ankle. And, like, his body went one way. His ankle did not. And just the way he went down, I'm like, I did not want to see that, man. I did not want to see that.
Yeah.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola.
Hola.
So my story, I mean, I know it's supposed to be about another family member. It's actually technically about me. One of the last callers was talking about the person's not liking the vegetables, and I also do not like vegetables whatsoever. While I don't like them, I will do whatever I can to not eat them. However, I do understand that they have a nutritional value, and they are healthy for you. So
that's what I've heard, too.
Yes, that's what they say. But I take their word for it, so I will actually eat them. But I hate the taste of them to the extent that I will do whatever I can to swallow them whole so I do not have to actually taste them.
I understand that move. When you don't have to choose, you know, it's like aspirin, right? It tastes like ass because I don't want you chewing it. So, look, just swallow the damn thing.
I like just the taste of aspirin.
Exactly.
What? I always did.
I do that with string beans and everything.
Ew, man. So you will eat vegetables. It's just a matter. All right, what if it's like big leaf lettuce? That's not just something you can just swallow with a glass of water.
So
you have to skip it.
My biggest issue is when it comes to when they're cooked. When they're raw, I'll eat a carrot. I'll even eat broccoli raw. Don't like it, but I will. But when it comes to them being cooked, it's a whole other... I'm convinced that somebody's trying to poison me. With
so you'd rather
if
have...
If I chew them, it will break in.
You would rather have raw broccoli than even steamed broccoli.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do all vegetables taste the same to you, which is obviously bad? I mean, do they have... Is it all the same similar taste?
Pretty much, yeah. It all tastes like warm dirt water.
Thank you, man. That's always been my thing.
There's got to be something about your guys' palate.
There is.
My stepfather has the same... He will not... If it's not an onion or a mushroom or a green pepper, he will not eat it.
Yeah, like my buddy said, I eat vegetables to go with fajitas. Or actually, as you put it, you eat vegetables to go with meat. So peppers, I don't mind. Now, that said, I don't mind peppers. I don't love peppers. But even when I bite into a pepper, it adds its own taste. And then to his point, there's that taste of pure dirt that goes along with it. It's just the pepper has enough strength and maybe it's 51% pepper, 49% dirt. And I can live with that because I know what vegetables are about, right? And I can identify different vegetables when I eat them, even if I'm blindfolded. But inevitably, so like you take the first bite and you go, this is broccoli. And then once you start chewing it, like, now this is dirt. Beets. Take the first bite, this is a beet. Two bites in, and now it tastes like dirt. I don't understand it. And like I said, my brother did that thing.
Beets.
People that like beets, I mean, like, look, more than any other vegetable, they all taste kind of like dirt to me, but it's like with essence of whatever vegetable you want to put in front. Beets are like straight dirt. Straight up. Beautiful dirt.
Yep.
Beautiful, purpley dirt. But it does not taste like anything other than mud, man.
Okay.
I just don't understand. People like it. And good for you if you can. But like I said, my brother did that thing on the paper towel where either you taste this enzyme or protein or chemical or you do not. And my father and I tasted it immediately. And my mother and my brother, who eat everything, they'll eat anything you put in front of them. They tasted nothing.
Yeah.
And me and my father, like, you've got to be kidding me. Because then we thought, all right, was it like 50-50? My brother goes, no. We sprayed all four of these tabs with the same crap. So if you can taste it, you're not going to like vegetables. And like I said, I taste them for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Glorified dirt bombs.
Nothing is the worst thing in the world. My stepfather, who will not eat vegetables, he has to be everywhere ridiculously early.
All right.
So when I was a kid, if church started at 11 or noon or whatever in the hell it was, we would get there about 45 minutes to an hour early.
Oh, my God.
If we go to, he'll go to the airport 2.5 hours early.
Yeah.
Every single thing he does is, if we have a reservation with a family dinner, we're at the beach, it's at 6 o'clock, he'll want to get there at 5 o'clock.
Why?
Just to walk around and wander, talk to people, talk to the hostess, see what's going on.
They love that.
I mean, if there's not.
I'm dead serious. It's like,
but if you have a reservation,
that's the point.
I mean,
no.
Some restaurants don't take reservations, so I fathom you got to get there.
Sure.
Look, if he's leaving for town on Friday, I guarantee you the bag is packed right now by his bedroom door with the exception of his toiletries.
Yeah.
The last thing that goes in. He's already packed. He's already ready to go. If you have a 3-hour drive and you could be there by noon, he's still leaving at 5 a.m. He's still going to get there early. I don't know what the deal is.
My wife's like that with the airport, where it's, I get it, like post 9/11 or like,
which is not the
10 to 15 years where I understood it, but like TSA, not the smoothest operation, but they kind of got it down. And if nothing else, you kind of know what to expect. So assuming it's not Christmas or Thanksgiving or one of these massive, we can fly it on a random Tuesday, right? March 8th means nothing. There's no holiday. It's still like, all right, the flight's at 5. We should be there by 2. And I'm like, why? She goes, well, what if something goes wrong? I'm like, what is it that you think is going to go wrong for that long? Look, if they lost our flight information, it's not going to take 3.5 hours to resolve this, I promise you. If the line at TSA is long, and again, not holiday, just random trip, it's not going to take 2.5 hours to get to the line. And then when we do get to the line and we have 2 hours and 50 minutes to spare before we even board, you're going to start mean mugging me because I want to go to the bar and I'm going to get my drink on because that's what I do when I'm stuck at the airport forever. I understand it with a layover. I'm like, this, we're leaving home.
We went to a Ravens Steeler game. My brother's there. My sister's there. My wife is there. Dan is there. He left at halftime.
What?
He left at halftime.
Why?
He leaves early. He's always early to leave to get there. I mean, we were early to get there.
He got there early to leave at halftime.
Correct. So he left.
Yeah, see, that doesn't add up.
It was a Thursday night game. He had nowhere to go. He was staying with my brother. It's not a big deal. My brother doesn't live that far away. He left at halftime. Ah, see you guys. See you guys at home. And, you know, we get home, and he's sitting there telling about the game he watched the second half on television.
Was it a good game?
Yes. Well, the Ravens won. It was a good game.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean,
Like, I don't mind going into a game game late, especially like weeknights, but even sometimes with Husky games, like, I just know some really good tailgates, and it's hard to rally the troops and start heading in. But, like, Saturday, again, down at Autzen, like, I've never seen that, right? I don't like that duck. I want to see him ride out on that motorcycle. Like, we got in there super early because I was like, I want to see what Puddle's going to do.
Sure. Who's the family member with the weirdest quirk? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Gentlemen.
Hola.
How for day are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Yourself?
I'm all right. I'm the Guam guy. It's been a minute since I've called in, guys. How are you guys, man? Anyways, I was in Puyallup hospital taking care of my dad. And out of the window, you can look down on this waiting area. And my older brother has all our kids, and they're all gathered up around my older brother. He gives us a phone call saying, we need a Band-Aid. My oldest daughter got a scratch on her forehead. Go down into the area where they're all at, and my daughter's whole entire forehead, down to her nose and everything, is all scratched up.
So, like, stitches?
No, so luckily we were at the hospital, so there's no concussion. It was just pretty beat up.
But he just wanted a Band-Aid.
Yeah. And here I am asking the nurses around the hospital, asking for a Band-Aid, and they didn't want to give me one. So I ended up going down to check my kid, and it's like, bro, that's more than a Band-Aid that I need, you know?
Yeah.
Way to minimize it. What do you mean a nurse doesn't want to give you a Band-Aid? Probably like, look, if I give you this Band-Aid, it's going to cost you $180.
From the Daily Show on Comedy Central, comedian Louis Black is coming up on the program at 4:30, and we have your emails on the way from the men's room at KISW.com next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.